Okay, so let's continue. We're holding three lines from the bottom of the narrow lines on your Domed Bays. Line in the Tomar. Okay, continuing with the story of Yehuda and Tomar, she said to him, Hakir no, please recognize these three items. Yehuda used the same expression, Hakir na, when with his father, and therefore he was given the same expression, Hakir na, when it came to him recognizing his things. Hakir bisel, he says, with his father, because they said, Hakir na, Hakfonis bin Chahi. When they brought back, after they sold Yosef, and then they wanted to pretend to Yaakov that he'd been killed by a wild animal, they took what did they do? They took his coat and slashed it and dipped it in blood and in the blood of a goat, and they brought it back to Yaakov, and they said, Hakir no, recognize please, is this your son's coat or not? But now the Hakir Bizruhu, so now he was used the same words we used on him, Hakir no. Hakir no the me, recognize please who these things belong to. On the most simple level, in other words, he caused his father a great deal of agmas nefesh with those words, and therefore he was caused the agmas nefesh with that also. Like, do I admit to it in public or not? Ultimately, both of them came out for good. That's another connection, yeah. What does it mean, no? Ein no ela lashon bakasha. The word no is an expression meaning please.
Did you realize that at the time?
Who didn't realize?
Did you don't realize?
Maybe he will. Maybe. I don't know. Doesn't say. Okay, when she says Hakir na, please recognize, Ein na la lashon bakasha. The word na means please. Amrele, she said to him, Bakasha milcha, Hakir pnei baracha, please recognize the face of your creator, of the Ebeshter, v'al talim enchem imeni, don't turn your eyes away from me. Don't pretend like you don't know what's going on over here, and then I'm going to end up getting killed. That's the lashon. That's the lashon. Hakir na, please recognize. In other words, never mind recognizing the items. Please recognize that the Ebeshter knows what you're thinking, and don't pretend I don't know what these things are. Yeah, maybe. Okay. Vayakir Yehuda vayemet tzav to him. And the pasuk says that Yehuda recognized, and he said, she's right from me.
Right.
She's right. She's right in what she did from me. In other words, she's pregnant from me. The Gemara is going to deal with soon how he knew. But wait. We can understand what Rav Chanan bar Bizna said in the name of Rav Shimon Chassidah. Yosef shekiddush Shem Shemayim Basay. So Yosef, who caused the kiddush Hashem in private, that he withstood Potiphar's wife trying to seduce him. He had this chus that there was one letter of the Eidush's name added to his name. Yichtiv Eidush v'Yosef Samay. The pasuk says, until him, he made it an edus, a testimony in Yehosef. Usually it's called Yosef. Here, hey, is added Yehosef to indicate that he had the schus of withstanding that trial and creating a Kiddush Hashem.
Remes
to Hashem's name, yeah. Okay, Akasha, I don't know. Yehuda shekiddush Shem Shemayim v'Pahestia, whereas Yehuda, who caused the kiddush Hashem in public by admitting and then telling them about what happened in the Tamar, Zachav v'Nikla Kule Hashem Al Shemayim Shachar Shbachu. He has this chut that his whole name is called after the Eibush's name, because the name Yehuda has in it all four letters of the Eibush's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, just with the Dalit stuck in there. Maybe not. I mean, he could have found some excuse. Okay, you know, he could have found some excuse that my dignity is at stake. But besides that, he could have found some way. No, it's not for me. But no, she's innocent for some other, you know, on some technicality or whatever. He could have found some way.
The other day we learned about Reuben who admitted.
Yeah, that once he heard it, then Reuben admitted also. Yeah. The Farshim talk about, I mean, Marshall and others talk about, I mean, so Yehuda was named that first when he was born. What do you mean? He's called that because he admitted. A lot of explanations, one of them being that Leah had Ruach HaKodesh. If she just meant to name him because I'm praising the Eibishter, I'm thanking the Eibishter that I have a fourth son, she would have called him Oideh. I'm Oideh Es Hashem. The fact that she called him Yehuda, well, she had Ruach HaKodesh to name him with a name that will eventually be suitable for him because he winds up deserving to be called by the Eibishter's name. Kivin Chahodah v'Omer Sodka Mimeni, once he admitted and said, she's right, it's from me, Yotza Basko v'Omer, Basko came out and said, Akei Salda Tamar Shnei Banecha Min Ur, you saved Tamar and her two children from the fire, Chayecha, by your life, I swear, Shani Matzah B'Schus of Gimel Banecha Min Ur, that in your Schus, I will save three of your children, three of your descendants, from the fire. Ma'ninu Chanani Mishol Hazayah. Then, Yehuda said, Sodka, Mimeni, she says, she's right, it's from me. Menoyada, how does he know she's pregnant from him? I mean, she was sitting there as a zona. He didn't know how long she'd been sitting there before. Just like she was with him, who says maybe she was with somebody else as well. It's not, Yehuda didn't say it. Yotza Basko, Omra, Basko came out and said, me many Yotza Kvushin. These hidden things have come out for me. In other words, the Ebishter says, so to speak, I planned for this whole thing to happen for hidden reasons known to me. That this is how David has to be descended from this kind of thing. There's ideas of Kabbalah that the various Mephoshim talk about, that the curse of the Tumah, the Samach Mem that we were talking about before, would want to prevent it from happening in an open way, but when it happens through something like this that looks like an Aveda, then okay, you know, people are doing Aveda, so what do I care? Abed, you know, this is my bailiwick. And meanwhile, he doesn't realize that, you know, secretly, the Eivishter is manipulating things that, yeah.
What did he say?
So he said, Sarka, and the Baskel said, Mimen.
So that's the point, he wasn't sure. He didn't even know.
Yeah, he thought she's a pregnant stamp from being Mizana. Yeah.
That's the greatness. I mean,
he didn't say.
Anything.
No, but that he said Sodka even, that he says she's right. Right. She's right. I'm the one who gave her these things. She's right in what she did.
But he had what credit to realize that he made her pregnant.
No, that's what we're saying. I mean, he may not have known. He may not have had a way of knowing that it really was his. But Basco came out and said, I planned this whole thing. So then, of course, you ought to realize what happened over here. Then the pasuk finishes off with Yosef Oid L'Daisa, that he didn't Yosef anymore to know her. Now, Yosef has two possible meanings. It can mean to continue, and it can mean to stop. So here the Gemara is understanding it in the second way. It means to stop. Am a Shmuel Sava Chamur Zer Shmuel Ba'ami B'Shmei Zer Shmuel Ba'ami. Kiven Sheyada, once he knew her, Shuv like Pasek Mimena, that he didn't stop being with her. So Rashi says it means once he knew, once he understood that she's a tzedekah, that she did this whole thing, L'Shem Shemayim, then he remained married to her. Rashi talks about that also. It means in the Yada usually is the standard word in Tanakh for a couple having relations. Adam Yada is Chava Ishtei. Kiven Sheyada, once he had relations with her the first time, that first time, by the roadside over there, Shuv like Pasek Mimena, he didn't stop being with her. He still continued to stay married and have relations with her. Because here the pasuk says he didn't Yosef anymore to know her. And by Matan Torah, they have a similar expression, a great voice that didn't Yosef, which the Gemara again assumes that Yosef from here means it didn't stop. The Ko Gadol, a great voice that the Eved spoke by Matan Torah, v'lo Yosef, which never ceased, because it continues ad ayem azem.
So it's not consistent
with the Eved. That's the thing. The Eved planned the whole thing in order that based on it, then Mashiach should come from it, yeah. The portion on the pasuk, though, say that in a simple sense, also, Yosef and both these psukim can mean to continue. Well, Yosef was the daita, fine, he was with her, she became pregnant with Peretz and Zerach. After that, he didn't have any reason to have relations with her again. She is his daughter-in-law, after all. And then similarly, by Kol Gadol V'lo Yosef, it would mean, they Rashi mentions on the pasuk over there, it means it was a one-time thing in history, Matan Torah. It never continued in the sense that there was never again a time that the Eved appeared to the Jewish people and gave the Torah. And that's the Gemara's dashing over here in the first place. Let's start a little bit with Avshalom over here. Avshalom has gotten this guard decider, the Mishnah had said that Avshalom prided himself on his hair, and he ended up getting hung up in a tree by his hair. Turn up on him. Avshalom decided in Morad. Avshalom rebelled against the Eved through his hair. Shenema, Avshalom lahaya ishiyaf. As the Pasuk says, there was no one as handsome in the Jewish people as Avshalom. And when he would shave his hair, he would shave it every year because we learned in Nazir, with the Nazir Olam, so he'd shave his hair every 12 months and brought his carbonus. Lahaya miketh yomim liyomim ashay galayach. He would shave once a year. Because his hair was heavy on him, he would shave it. The shokel, the sarosh, he would weigh the hair of his head. And it weighed 200 shekel by the king's stone. Tanan, we learned it a braifa. That means Evan, Shanshi, Tveria, Banshi, Tiporia, Shokumba. It means the kind of stones that people, Tiporia and Tveria, use as weights, which actually, as the Maharishim say, means they're heavier than the weights they used in Yerushalayim. The Gemara mentions in Erevin that their measurements of Tiporia in the north of Eretz Yisrael were heavier than the weights of Yerushalayim. That bigger crops or whatever it was exactly, but the point is his hair weighed quite a bit, and that's the point. What do we mean, Morad Desire? He's a mother. He's not rebelling against the Eved by growing his hair long. That's the mitzvah, but that he prided himself on it. That every year he would weigh it and show off everybody, look how much hair I grew. That it weighed so much. That was his thing. Lefichach nitl b'sayra, therefore he was hung up by his hair. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vayikore Avshalom b'snei avdei David. Avshalom ended up being in front of the servants of David. There was a battle going on during his rebellion. He wound up in front of them. Avshalom roichav al pered. Avshalom was riding on a mule. Vayavar pered tachas seivach elag dola. The mule passed underneath a tangled branches of a great big elah tree. His head, meaning his hair, was caught in the actually is the lashon of pasuk. His hair was caught in the tree. By Yotan ben Hashemayim ben Aretz, he was suspended between heaven and earth. By Pered and Hashatacht of Avar, and the mule that was underneath him moved away, so he's hanging there. So Shokol Safsiri took out his sword, borrowed the mifsike. He wanted to chop off his hair and run away. What happened? At that moment, Sheol, Gehenim, opened up underneath him. So Marshall says, if he's on a pshat level, if he saw if he, like this, you know, I'm hanging over there by my hair, but if I cut my hair off, I'm going to fall into Gehenim. I'm going to fall into the pit. So he didn't want to. So therefore, he had no choice. Because he was a Rasha. Because he was rebelling against David. He said in the Mishnah, he raped his father's 10 Pelagshim. So now all of a sudden Gehenim opened up. So, on the other hand, Mepharshim should bring from Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that it means in a different sense. Not that he couldn't have gotten away safely, but when he saw Gehenim opened up underneath him, he realized for the first time, you know what? That's where I'm going to end up. In that case, you know what? Better let me stay where I am. Yes, David's soldiers will find me and kill me. You know what? My death will be a kapara for my Averis. I don't have to go into Gehenim. Then the pasuk says, "Vayugav HaMelech." The king trembled when they brought David the news that Avshalom had been killed. He trembled. "Vayal al aliyas hashar vayev." He went up to the attic above the gate and was crying. "V'choyam avalechta," and he said as he's walking, "Bni Avshalom, my son Avshalom, bni Avshalom, mi yitin musi ani tachtecha. Halavai that I would have died instead of you, Avshalom, bni." So far he said five times bni. The HaMelech lost his pun of a couple of sukkim later it says the king covered his face, Vayizek HaMelech Kel Gadol, and the king cried out in a loud voice, B'ni Avshalom, Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni. So, I mean, on a very basic shot level, this is showing how grieved David was, but still, the pasuk doesn't need to mention, obviously he would have been grieved, it doesn't need to mention eight times B'ni,
handing to his soldiers to have them killed,
No, that was actually, the pasuk said that specifically before that battle, he had given the soldiers instruction, if you get a hold of Avshalom, don't kill him.
Because
Yoav, David's general, figured I know better than David. Yoav took matters into his own hand. I mean, we learned in the Mishnah that it was Midi Keneged Midah. Absalom deserved this, but still, David was very upset about it.
If the king didn't want him to.
That's actually one of the things that David held against Yoav. Actually, a couple of psukim after this, the pasuk continues. I mean, I don't want to get too far off topic. This is a Shir and Nach, but afterwards, Yoav comes to David and says, you know what? Look, I mean, all the soldiers, you're disappointing all the soldiers. I mean, they fought really hard over here, you know, and now a lot of lives are lost, and you're just all grieved over Avshalom. What about everybody else? I mean, you know, you better compose yourself and get out there and greet all the soldiers. Otherwise, they're all going to abandon you, and you're really going to be in trouble.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, Hanitzvanya Bni Lama. Why did David say Bni eight times? Shiva to ask him a Shiva Madura Gehenim. Seven times was he brought him out of the seven levels of Gehenim. The Idach. What about the eighth one? Two possibilities. Ikta the Amri Dekarav Reishi Lagabi Gufei. One opinion is that with that he brought his head back with his body, because what happened, we learned in the Mishnah the first two stages of what happened. Avshalom's hanging over there from the tree. Yoav took three sticks and stuck them into Avshalom, and he's still alive. And then his arms there. What?
Yoav himself.
Then 10 of his soldiers went and took spears, and 10 of them stuck spears into him and killed him. Afterwards, presumably, when they cut him down from the tree, they chopped off his head, Ben Yehoyada says, and it just rolled wherever. So now, David HaMelech, with the eighth bni, accomplished that his head was brought together with his body. The Ishka D'Amri, another explanation, D'Astya La'alma D'Asi, that with that eighth bni, he brought him into Olam Haba, which is a very famous Tosfos over here that discusses the issue. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that a son can bring chosin for his father. But a father can't save his son. A father can't give chosim for his son. Avraham Avinu can't save Yishmael, for example. Yitzchak can't save Esav. So what are we talking about over here? David HaMelech saving Avshalom.
A son can bring
chosim to the father. That's right. Son says Kaddish after his father, for example, but not the other way around, necessarily. So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. One of them is because, after all, Avshalom was killed by a Misa Mishuna. That itself is the beginning of a kapara for him. Also, maybe the Gemara over there in Sanhedrin is talking about primarily somebody who worships Avodah Zarah. Avshalom did a lot of terrible things, but he didn't worship Avodah Zarah. And a third possibility, Tosva says, is that we're talking about that a father can help his son, a son can help his father even without tefillah. Just that the son's chusim can go towards the father's credit. The fact that the father had a son who was doing mitzvahs, that itself helps towards the father's credit, not the other way around. But when you're davening, that's different. Davening, even a father can help a son. And that's what David did for Avshalom. That's the point, yeah. So why, in what way is Bli a tefillah for him? There's a couple of different explanations. One of them being that after all, as bad as Avshalom was, the fact that he's rebelling against David, etc., the Gemara mentions in Brachos that actually Avshalom never intended really to kill David. He wanted to oust him from the throne. He wanted to depose him and become king instead. And he was doing all kinds of terrible things. He's rebelling again and violating his palanchim and everything. But still, the Gemara mentions in Brachos that David HaMelech Mizmer LaDavid B'Brachos and Avshalom. No, that why is David singing that he's being chased by Avshalom? Because David said, you know what, the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you have to have me deposed and being chased by somebody, better that it's my son who at least has a shtikar rachmanas on me. So therefore, the fact that he's now mentioning Bini, it's my son, itself serves as a chutz for him. The fact that, after all, as bad as he was, he was still my son, after all, and he still acted with a shtickle kibbutz out to me.
So you would have killed him if he
had... Not actually, no, because you know what the Pasuk mentions in connection with the whole rebellion over there. At one point, Avshalom gets his top advisors together. What should we do? How do we continue this rebellion over here? And Achitophel advises him, basically, go attack David, kill him, and once he's dead, then everybody will come and under your rulership. Avshalom doesn't like that idea. He says, we need to call somebody else and ask him for advice. They call him Hushai Ha'arki, who's working as a double agent. He's a friend of David, but he's pretending to be on Avshalom's side and being one of his top advisors. And Hushai tells him that Ahitophel's advice is no good, because David's a tough guy, you're not going to get him so easily, you have to get all the Jewish people together and do a whole long, drawn-out siege against him, etc., etc. Part of the idea is, why? I mean, on the face of it, the pasuk itself says Achitophel's advice was really, really good. How you talking that Avshalom didn't listen to it? Part of it is, the Poshim say, because in the back of his mind, Avshalom had. I don't want to do like what Achitophel is saying, to outright kill my father, to depose him, whatever. But not to kill him. No, but that's yeah. But. Wait, what? At that point, in a certain sense, David wasn't king anymore. The fact that he was off the throne for those 6 months, the Gemara mentioned the Yerushalmi, I think it is mentioned in Hodias, that during those 6 months, had David committed an Aveira that would require him to bring a Chatas, he would bring a commoner's Chatas, not a king's Chatas. During those 6 months, effectively, he wasn't king.
He was what, in war?
No, because he's running away. He's on Ebra. He's in Ebra Yaudin. He's having to hide out from Avshalom and his army, whatever. Yeah. So effectively, he's not functioning as a king. Yeah.
Avshalom should describe the fact that he was punished with a crown.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, he did worse if he wanted to kill his father. I mean, maybe it's just like the nail on the coffin.
Maybe it's the other way around. It all started with that. He started having this gaiva of his hair, and that led him down the wrong path. One other thing, by the way, and then let's finish. Another thing that Mephoshim say, how David saying 8 times B'ni, how that helps Avshalom, is because David is also saying, you know what, one of the other things that factors into Avshalom having been such a bad guy, his mother was a Yifas Toyar. In fact, the same Hushai Ha'arki, the Gemara mentions, I think it's in Sanhedrin, that the same Hushai Ha'arki, the double agent, says to David, you know, you should know, you know why all this is happening. It's true the Torah allows you to marry a Yifas Torah, to have relations with a Yifas Torah, and later on to marry her. No, not Bathsheba. Macha, the daughter of Tamar Melech Beshur, who was Avshalom's mother. But a Yifas Torah, a Goyish woman captured in battle, where the Torah gives a Jewish soldier permission to have relations with her and later on to marry her if he wants. But Hushai tells him, you should realize, why did the Torah mention that, and then shortly after that, you have the case of the Ben Sarah murder. Why? Because one idea is, if a Jewish man marries a Yifas Torah, it's likely that the child is going to end up having bad tendencies and end up being a Ben Sarah murder. So therefore, David is saying to me all these times, expressing the idea, you know, in a way, it's all my fault. It's not, Avshalom, as bad as he was, the fact that he was my son from a Yifas Torah sort of excuses the worst of what he did. Because that he was born with those tendencies.
Why is that so? you married one who's just a Torah.
Because the idea is that a marriage with the Yifas Torah is not necessarily being done with Shem Shemayim. You're doing it because with a chashakta, you desire her because she's beautiful or whatever. That's not a good. That's not a good reason to marry somebody.
So sorry, Avram, she was beautiful.
But Avram didn't marry her for her beauty. She was beautiful, but that's not here. He was attracted to her mice and children. Okay, so the Rechaim HaKadosh says on the Sukkim over there that it can happen. The previous thing, Yonim, that the soldier's neshama is attracted to this neshama because she needs to be schlepped out of Tumah, and the only way that it can be accomplished is like that. But on a more straightforward level, we'll learn in Kedushin in a couple of months, Rez Hashem, that on a straightforward level, they'll give her Torah to the Canadian Sahara. But the Torah realizes soldiers tend to, whatever a soldier in wartime, their inhibitions are loosened, they tend to just rape anybody they come across. Therefore, the Torah kind of puts a break on it. Fine, you'll have a way to do it, but in a way of heter. Itself, like the Torah is sort of grudgingly giving permission. That's what Hoshea was pointing out to David, that you shouldn't have done that. And therefore, the David now is saying, B'ni Absalom, B'ni, B'ni, etc., the 8 times, implying, in other words, after all, in a certain sense, it's my fault that I brought about that I had a son like this who wound up being a Ben Torah murderer. And therefore, that should be a source for him.